Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can honor you and we can say that with our whole heart and our soul we give it to you, Lord. We want to live in your way. Help us, guide us, Father. Show us, also today in the sermon, show us, guide us, Lord. We want to see your way and we want to live in that way. Open our eyes, open our understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, it was awesome. Anyone get a picture or a word during the worship? Come on. Can't be no one. Okay, then did you sit down? Oh. The sermon's name is Rock. I shared a little with the intercessors before church. When I had to do this sermon, I really didn't feel strong and healthy, and I struggle with some issues in my body. And then God showed me a big rock, just a picture of a big rock. And I said, okay, now what about this rock? So yeah, the rest of the sermon comes, it follows. But I want to ask you, when God says, God is our rock, God is my rock, what do you think? A rock doesn't really have a lot of emotions, but and we sang a lot about God's love, so I don't know. But what do you think? I'm going to say a few things about a rock, which I thought of, is it's not movable. A big rock is not movable. It's solid. It's the same over time. So it today it looks more or less the same as yesterday. It is not influenced quickly. The rain and the weather does have an influence, but it's kind of steady. It's strong. It is reliable. You know a rock is a rock. You don't expect other things of it, but it stays solid and reliable. Yeah, it doesn't change. It's not easily breakable. It's steadfast. It's trustworthy. And which one I also got is, it's like an obstacle. If you have a huge rock in front of you, say you like to, not rock climb, but you like to walk on mountains or whatever, then sometimes the path leads around the rock because this rock is in your way. And sometimes I feel this is how God is also. You cannot miss him. He is so big, you cannot really get around him. It's just enormous. So this is my experience of if God asks me what does it mean to me, he is my rock. Okay, that was about that. Then I want to show you a picture of the rock of Gibraltar. It is at the very southern part of Spain, and it is where the Mediterranean Sea meets the Atlantic. And I can't remember if it's 36 miles or kilometers away from Morocco, now from Africa. It's a small, you can see at the back the African part. So yeah, and it is still British. And the treaty signed in Utrecht in 1730 gave that to Britain. It's just some interesting points. And then in 2002, the British voted, and they still voted 98% to keep it British, although it's really in the Spanish territory. Yeah. So this is the stone of Gibraltar. There's another one. Yes. It is also where the planes depart and land, the runway. The runway is from the one coast to the other coast. So it's rather scary. If the plane lands too quickly, you're in the sea. If it stops too late, it's in the sea. So, okay. Then the next picture is about how people build on rocks. And yeah, I don't know why you want to live there, but you don't have quite a big garden, but at least it's solid. Yeah? And it looks a little old, so I think it lasts. It is strong and stable, and it lasts. Although it's in the sea and the waves are around, the rock stays solid. And in this little picture, I want you to just memorize. Later on, I'm going to show you a different one of that same picture. It is in Switzerland, if I'm correct. And it is underneath a small dam. So when the dam overflows, the water is much more. I've later got a picture of that. But as you can see, this little house, or I don't know if it's a house, but it is really built on rock. There's not sand or stone around it. In the Netherlands, we lack rock. We don't have many rocks here. So I was always wondering, how do they build then? But Darken has a nephew, and he built he's building a building in Amsterdam, and he says they drill in poles which is 40 meters long into the mud or into the sand, and that the pressure of the sand is so high that it pushes it up, and then to them it's kind of rock then it's now steady. Well, we know that Amsterdam is built on poles, and we have witnessed some houses that are a little skew. I don't know if it's because of that. But yeah, rock is still more solid to build on. Yes, when we... that was just background for what's coming. If we read Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18, in the Amplified Classic, it says, "Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" So in other words, what does the people say? Who am I? Sorry, do I keep it wrong? "And they answered, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.'" So that's what the people's opinion was. "And he said to them, 'But who do you yourself say that I am?' And then we read on, 'Simon Peter replied, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And then Jesus answered him, 'Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah.'" Bar-Jonah means son of Jonah. "For flesh and blood," so people, "men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will..." Okay, let me read it like that. "And I tell you, you are Peter." And in Greek, that is Petros, a large piece of rock or a boulder. "And on this rock..." It's a different translation. It's a different word that Jesus is using, Petra. It's a huge rock like Gibraltar. And that's why I had the Gibraltar rock there, to show it's not very movable now. "And on such a rock, and on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it." If you can leave the text there, it would be great. So the Catholic Church struggled a little here, and I think some of us also, that we think Peter is the rock that the church is built on. But Peter is Petros, and that's why I use the classic translation, because it has it very beautifully in it, and that means a large rock. And on this rock, Petra, is where God is building his church on. So it's not on Peter. Because if we think, do you think Peter was a good rock? If we think of the attributes of Jesus, and was he a good rock? No, he was not really. He was actually the spokesman often for the disciples. He was a little up front, or the chairperson, and I think that's why I answered. The Catholic Church also believes that That is where the church is built on, and that Peter was the first pope. Which is also, I don't want to down talk the Catholic Church at all. It's just to bring clarity that the first church in Jerusalem, the pillars was James, Peter, and John. It was all three of them. And then also Peter himself said in, where did I write that down? In 1 Peter 2, verse 6 to 8, he says, Jesus Christ is the rock. So how must we read this then, if Jesus was the rock? It is actually Peter's faith that the Lord, Jesus said, Peter, you couldn't have known this by men. This was imparted in you by my Father. That impartation of knowing that Jesus is the rock, that is the church. That is where it's built on that impartation, on that knowing, that sure knowing where it's all about. And someone said something about the truth. I think you did in your offering, or that the Bible is the truth. This is what the whole Bible, the Evangelie, the whole gospel. Thank you. That is where it's built on. It's on the truth, on Jesus Christ, and everything that comes along with that, that goes along with that. Okay. So So I think Jeff will like this. He loves words that mean the same, or no, spells the same but is in different meaning or whatever. So I thought this is good, Jeff, for you. Rock. But it is different rocks. Okay, then God shared with me that sometimes churches and pastors and people miss this. This is central to the church. This is central of the church. This is central of what we're building on. Is this what that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the whole gospel. And often when people go astray, it is sometimes about themselves. We see big churches and people feeling honored that there's so many people in the church, or I've even heard that pastors are told to preach a little more that way because then the offering is better. It's not like that. And God shares with us, beware of that. Beware of being people pleasers. God works through us, through every believer. Okay, doesn't matter how big is your faith or how small is your faith. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you can say that, and you believe it in your heart, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? And the other day when we did street evangelism, I had someone who said, yes, he wants that Jesus, and we prayed with him. But from there on, he's going to grow, and we'll see later how we grow. But we are all a small church. Because you believe, you are part. You have a little part of that rock in you. You understand that principle of the rock, and God builds on that. I want to ask you: do you feel like a rock? Do you feel that solidness when you think of your faith? Do you perceive it? Do you have that security? And God shared with me, as long as we put God first, and that was Darkian's sermon last week, as long as we put God first, we will have that security. And sometimes it's really scary because in the natural, it doesn't look so good. It is the same when we had to immigrate here. In the natural, it was not a very clever plan. But because you have God in you, you trust that. You trust that security. Okay, so that's why the next picture is a big little church with small churches, just to say that each one of us is church, actually, where you operate, where you are, and then we are all part of the bigger church, and then the bigger church is part of a much more bigger church, every believer in in the whole world. The last part of the scripture says, and I tell you, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. So the next little picture is about that same house in a flood. It's just photoed from a different angle, made from a different angle. And it stands. God never tells us that life will be easy. He never promises us that it will be everyday fun. And evil will come because we're on earth and the evil is on earth. But God says, it will never overpower my church. And if we look into the history of the church, we can see there was always a remnant of true godly people, not serving their own purposes, but really wanting to have that pure rock in them. Which is also interesting is the gates, when he says the gates of Hades. In the gates in that time, that was the place where the elders or the older men were sitting, and in Afrikaans we say, die manne sit in die poorte en rede kabel. The men sat in the gates and they, I don't know if they argued, but they discussed also stuff with law, juridical stuff. So that was where you, a court kind of was. And it's also in the gates with, if you own the gate of a city, you own the city. That's in the spiritual world also. So God says, even the gates of Hades will not overpower his church. So the church will never be overpowered, although there is forces. The next picture is of a lighthouse. I'm glad I'm not in there. There's many pictures of lighthouses that look like this. And then I think, yes, because it's built on rock, it can stand those forces. And the evil can sometimes be really huge and big. And God shared with me when he gave me this sermon that be careful of what I or you believe, or when we say, according to me, or how I see it. Have we ever asked God how he sees it, how he feels about it? What is his opinion about this? And when me and Caroline stood outside, we shared a little about the tradition of the Dutch of the New Year to give you a kiss to say Happy New Year when they see you for the first time. And how much of myself and me and traditions and habits stand above God? I don't say that tradition is not from God, but I think well-wishing is. But do we stand still sometimes to see if this is really godly, what we are so eagerly in taking part of? For instance, Halloween, it gets bigger and bigger. Do we really know the roots of Halloween? Do we really know where it comes from? Can we then take part of it? And that is what the storms are against the church. What's also a storm is, for instance, how we think of abortion. I think someone here in the church said to me that sometimes people say, yeah, but a married woman, if the pregnancy is not really suitable now, she may have an abortion, and her opinion or feelings are totally okay to abort this baby. And abortion is actually murder. It's no ways about it. So that is the storms that comes against the church. That is their thinking. If we read 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says the strongholds in our bodies and in the church is thinking. Lofty thinking, any thinking that is against God. And it creeps in our societies without us really realizing it. It's that thing of a of a frog in a pool and you hit the pool slowly, he doesn't understand that he must get out because it's so slowly. So actually at the end he dies because he didn't get out of the pool that got too warm. Societies change, and God shares with me, we must really be alert. We must really ask God what his opinion about things that change and not just think it's okay because other people say so. And then God asked me how much of myself or ourself is in his church. He says he loves differences, like creation is very, there's so many different things in creation, it's awesome. He didn't make us copies, we are all individuals and he loves that. But is it our idea how we must do church, or is it God's idea? Did any one of us ever ask God, is this how he wants us to do church? And then he challenged me and he said, have you ever asked me what I think about coffee and tea at church? And then he said, oh no, is it wrong? And then God said, no, it's not wrong, but you haven't asked me. But if coffee and tea is your focus when you come to church, then it's wrong. So it's often the priority we put on something. Yes, that was the storms. The last one on the storm is a snow covered. I think we are South Africans, we don't know how this feels. I think perhaps some of the Dutch, I don't know if Wim knows more about this or whatever. What was significant for me here is sometimes we are so covered up with all our extras, we cannot even see our rock anymore. The foundation, what really makes us tick, what really is important. But we think we are good people. Like this bench, or I think that other thing is a post box. It's so covered up with snow, and it actually loses its purpose nearly. And that we must really think, what do we put all extra on that is not from God? The last picture of these storms is sometimes after a storm, we look and feel like this. This one feels, am I going to make it or am I not? I'm not totally destroyed, but yeah. And the other one is, while I was searching this, I was thinking the other one can be, okay, that's not from God is at least now gone. Let's carry on with the part that is godly. But sometimes you feel like this. The enemy has weathered you and you barely stand. And some of us in the small groups did that stuff of narcissism. And the video says that you must cut off which is not from God, which is really your own narcissistic ways of thinking and ideologies and so on. And sometimes I feel like that house that's really not there anymore. But that what is from ourselves and not godly, we must just get rid of. We must just get it away. It is not good for us. Okay, so we know a little about rock, where to build on. We are supposed to be a rock because Jesus Christ is in us. Storms will come. And then hopefully we don't look like this. Hopefully we look like that little housey that could stand. I think that was picture... the one, number four picture, where he was, it doesn't matter. The first one where there was no flood. He's still standing, even that there's floods and the enemy came. Okay, yes, this one. It's the same little housey. Amazing. Okay. Then God shared with me, when we come to church, that little picture with the small little churches in it. When we come to church, what are our expectations? When we say or we plan, okay, on Sunday we're going to come to church. What do you expect and what do you bring? Because this church is very small, nearly everyone has a job here. And if it's not this Sunday, it's next Sunday. So actually that's awesome that you know you have to take part. You know you have to do something to make this happen. In bigger churches, I think it's easier to just sit and relax and receive and goodbye. But then God also challenged me and he said, do we ask God what is on his heart for this Sunday? What does he want me to bring? And I think the more we do that, the more he will give us pictures and dreams and words of knowledge for each other and for the church to uphold and pray for healings. Because we are expectant of him and we spoke with him before we came. So when you come to church, we must already be prepared in our hearts and in our prayer. One of our pastors always said you must be prayed up before you come. So the church is to be the rock, that solid, secure, strong foundation to us. And how does this solid, secure rootedness of ours look like in our own lives? Some of us have a small rock in us. As I said, faith has not yet been built up so big. But you have. The Bible says everyone has a piece of faith. And how does it look in our small groups and Sundays on church? Can we experience that rootedness? Are we sharing that with each other? Are we building each other up during our fellowship with each other? The Lord is really, he put it really on my heart that we may not defile his church with wrong or ungodly or selfish thinkings and doings. So it's again that 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, your own thinking. If you haven't spoken with God about it, perhaps you mustn't say it then already. So for instance, we choose this venue, how we got this venue. We prayed about it. We prayed in the intercession, that's a group on Tuesday evenings. We prayed ourselves. We asked for confirmation. Because it's not because it's a cool idea of myself and I like it because it looks much nicer here than the previous venue. It must be from God. Otherwise, the fruit is so little. So we must not defile our own thinking with our thinking must be godly. So we must always come back to God. So we test it to the truth. The truth is the Bible. That is so easy. There's lots of stuff in the Bible that can help us. In Psalm 32 verse 8 it says, "The Lord will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you," that's the Lord, "with my eye upon you." Isn't that beautiful? And when we sent you, Kayla, I also felt, God will instruct you. He is into us. He's not, he didn't make you and let you go. He is into us and he wants us to search for him, to look for him. He waits for that and he will answer. Teach me to do your will in Psalm 143. For you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me into a level country and into the land of uprightness. The little that we have, the more you build on it, the more you grow, the more the church grow. And for example, the Bible school that is promoted now, because in the southern hemisphere they work from January to December and not from August to August to July, so it's a little, perhaps later on we will change it. But the Bible school, it is so awesome because you get knowledge. And a lack of knowledge, the word says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. We need knowledge. Is it okay? We need knowledge. It's the same with abortions. If you do not understand that is murder, you cannot have a good opinion. You cannot have an opinion according to God. So we need knowledge to make good decisions. I spoke just now about the small faith. Hebrews 5 verse 12 to 14 says, "For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, You actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness. For he is a mere infant. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to divine or human law. Sorry, I struggled a little. It means that it's fine if you have a small rock in you, a small faith, but it's not fine if over 10 years it's the same. You need to grow. Paul says here in Hebrews, you need to grow. You cannot stay with milk. So come on, man up, get knowledge, move, help other people, teach, be disciple, disciple others. That's how it works. God gives us a tip in Matthew 6, verse 33. He says, but seek first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. It says that if you focus first on God, and that was Darkan's sermon, he will take care of the rest. And he did. When we focus on God to plant a church here, he did take care of our place to stay, of our furniture, of our income, everything. And it's amazing testimony. But if you didn't have the faith or the guts to do it, you would have missed it. And I think I've missed it many times because I was too scared. But God says, trust me. And so I wanna say to you, trust God. When God tells you something and you say, no, trust him. Ask him to help you to do what he wants you to do. Okay, we're nearly there. How do we do this? And this was a few points that I felt God put on my heart. Make Jesus Christ your personal Savior and rock. It doesn't help to say, I know of the rock, and I know someone that prays to the rock. You need to have the relationship. It's your personal Savior. I cannot go to heaven on behalf of my mom who prayed for me, who had a good relation. You go on yourself. You stand there on your own. Even though us who are married and have children, we would love to do it for our children, just to get them there. But it's everyone on its own, unfortunately. And then the second one is communicate with God. Pray to him and wait. Wait to hear what is his response. Wait to hear what he replies to you. Wait. Be silent. Keep quiet. Stop talking. He will reveal his heart to you. He will share with you. The first time I said, Lord, I don't know how your voice is. Like, I don't know how to know you, but I am waiting today. And it doesn't matter to me how long I wait. And then I waited 5 minutes. It felt like an age. And then I waited 10 minutes. And it was even longer. And nothing happened. After 20 minutes, I thought, okay, this thought that came in my brain, perhaps this can be from God. I said, Lord, is this from you? Then I want confirmation in the Bible. I want scripture that corresponds to that. And God gave that to me. He gave me a random scripture. I don't know the word, every verse in the Bible. So I looked it up, and it was exactly what I heard in my brain. So God will come. It depends on, do you want to hear him? Do you want to make the effort? Do you really want a living relationship with him? Okay. Then the third one, do not assume. Get confirmation from the Bible or from someone else who you know walks with God. A godly book, a DVD, worship, intercession, accountability, partners, small groups, evangelism, anything. Do not just think, oh, this is the right way. Get confirmation. Because we miss it, because we have our soulish thinking in ourselves, the way we want it to be done. So confirmation can be from the Bible as I got it, but sometimes it's from one of the others. Then the fourth one is live from out your conviction. Live from out that rock. Live from out that knowing, that secure, steadfast security, what you believe. Stand for it. It will give you peace. It will give you joy. It will give you security. And God says, that security, He's a good Father. He wants us to be secure. He wants the best for us. But we must make a choice. It was today that someone at the scripture of you cannot honor two gods. I think it was you, Eunice. You cannot honor your own ideologies and your own understanding and God's. You honor two things. So yourself is an idol, and then you want God to add on to that. You will always be confused, and you will always lack security and a peace that surpasses all knowledge. Okay, the last one is grow. Do not stay an infant. I've spoken about it. What I also want to say here is, I don't know how you people pray. But say, for instance, I pray for the church. Then I ask God, what is on your heart for Eunice? What is on your heart for Vim? What is on your heart for, that's Kayla, Eunice. And then if God says, okay, this and this is on my heart for him, then I will pray that in. We often do that in intercession. It's really quite a nice place to practice what you get from God, and then we pray that in. So don't just pray, may it go well with Kayla and so on. So hear from God what he wants, where he is with her, and within with yourself as well. Don't just say, Lord, I want this and I want this. God, what is on your heart for me? What do you want me to do? Where to go? What job must I get? Like some people have new jobs here. Is it God's will that you are in that job? Okay, nearly there. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined for us. God planned for us what we are supposed to do. How will you know what he planned if you do not talk to him? Okay? So we need to have our spiritual eyes open. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that we can hear his voice, so that we can walk in the paths that he made for us, that he predestined for us. We are not just here planted on earth to do our own thing. It will never, you will never be in God's will then. Okay, and then live out your beautiful super potential and keep your eyes open. The church, the rock, is in one of our courses, they say it's plan A. God chose the church to spread his good news. He doesn't have a plan B, that is plan A, as they say. There is no plan B. So if we don't move, it will not move. We need to let God work through us. Okay, if you can stand, it would be great. And if you can play something, Jeff. That last song was awesome. How much, you can put the last slide on. How much are you part of this rock, this gospel of God, this knowing, this truth? How much are you part of that? The rock on whom God builds his church. Never? Have you never chosen to be part of this rock? Have you ever made the choice to take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you haven't, it would be awesome if you can come to the front after this service. We are nearly finished. We would love to pray with you to help you with that. Do you seldom feel you're part of the rock? Or you know you're seldom part of the rock? Or sometimes when there's need or desperation, or when you clearly need guidance, but for the rest, you do it your own way? Or in general, are you in general part? You come to church generally, you attend small groups. Normally speaking, you're part of the rock. Or are you always part of the rock. While you, when I wake you up at 2 at night and I ask you, what will you answer me? Is that really part of you? So I want to ask you that you can close your eyes and think a little about it. Where are you? And would you like to grow? And we want to grow with you. We want to help so that we can grow as the Church of God. So you can ask God right where you are, and or you can come to the front and me and Odarkan can pray with you, and we also want to celebrate that you want to grow, so that we can help you grow. This is also our job as a church and as a pastor, that the small little churches that you are grow into bigger churches, and that you can help and disciple other people. I'm just going to pray, and then if you want to come forward, you're more than welcome, and for the rest you can have some cup. You may have tea and coffee. God said it's fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can be here together. And thank you, Lord, that you always search our hearts, Father. And on the outside, we can do all the right moves, and we can come to church and make as if we're this holy, godly people. But Lord, you know our inside. You know what our thinking are. You know where we struggle, Father. We want to come before you, Lord, and we really want to be solid in your rock, on the foundation that you want to build your church. And thank you that we are part of your church, Father. But help us to grow. We want to hear what is on your heart for us. And as everyone is silent now, Lord, I ask you to speak into everyone's heart what is on your heart for each one of them, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ.